This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, first off, we want to say thanks so much for supporting the show these last couple years. It's been a pleasure doing the show and watching the community grow. Our heart soars with the Eagle's Nest.
We have some exciting news to announce, which is that as of this week, the Michael Scott Podcast Company is joining the Cloud 10 Podcast Network alongside a bunch of other great shows, so check them out. We're very excited to be here. And we cannot thank you all enough for helping us get to this place where we can do the show on a larger platform and keep investing in making our show better and growing it. A couple announcements that will come with this. First of all, don't worry, you don't have to subscribe to a different feed or anything. Our show will continue releasing as normal in the same places going forward. So we're there for you.
Second, as you might guess, since we are joining a network, we will have ads going forward. Don't worry, though, there won't be a ton of them, and we'll have fun recording them in an office-y vibe as we can. However, if you still prefer to have an ad-free podcast, don't fret. In the coming weeks, we will be putting our whole catalog on our Patreon ad-free, as well as future episodes going forward. So, for the same price of $5 a month, you get our exclusive monthly mailbag episode and access to ad-free shows.
In the coming months, you can also expect some merch to become available, as well as extra content on our Patreon, where we will talk about stuff we've been reading, watching, listening, and just kind of some non-office chatter and hang out with us. So, needless to say, it's going to be zoppity.
Okay, that's it for now. Again, we love you all so much, and thanks for everything you've done to help our show survive and thrive. We look forward to making a bunch more stuff for you. You guys are the reason that we went into the paper business. So good night, God bless America, and get home safe.
I'm doing the twirl.
Out of paper, out of stock, there's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed, call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and church van driver, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James, productivity czar.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
They're getting on my nerves, Mom. Both of them. R thinks he's too good to be here, and P is not as much fun without Jim.
Michael, we can hear you.
I'm on the phone, please. Mom, I'm going to call you back. P is being a giant bee.
Every week.
Which one of you is P and which one of you is R?
Oh, I'm P for sure. I'm. You know me.
You're not as much
a
fun
giant,
without you.
I'm a giant B.
Yeah.
I'm E. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week we'll have our main topic, as we always do. Then we go to a conference room where we'll talk about some feedback we got on our episode on Roy, as well as a new show from Mindy Kaling that's going to be coming out soon. And then we'll move on to trivia provided by a listener. This week's main topic is the Michael Scott Paper Company. That's right. We're going to be returning to the topic that we first covered in our first episode on this show 2 years ago.
Our first public episode.
Yeah, that's right. I've wanted to revisit this topic for a while, partly because I think it's a favorite of all of ours. It's the namesake for our show. And with the new announcement that we have joining the network, I think it made sense for us to revisit the very beginning and talk about this arc once again. I think also, you know, that was our first published episode. And I think in the time since, we've gotten a little bit looser, a little bit better at doing this. Mm-hmm. If you can call it us being good at all, but I just thought it would be a really fun topic for today.
We used to be a Toby, and now we are a Toby in Costa Rica, perhaps.
Yes.
Accurate. And this is for everyone who's tuning into our show, finding it for the first time. Welcome. I sure hope there's some new people, but we'll see. If not, hey guys, what's up? It's the same old show. This is also the first time we've revisited a topic, at least explicitly. I feel like we say the same stuff a lot, but this is actually going back to an episode we've already done.
Yeah. And welcome to our new listeners, but to our old listeners as well. We'll try to, I think we're coming in with some new ideas.
You guys are you guys are the seniors in the lunchroom. Yeah. You know how it works here. You know what's up.
Such a bold assumption that we have new listeners.
I know. I know. Let's assume we don't.
I think for the purpose of this topic, we should talk about where we think this arc begins and ends.
Yes. We came in with some discord on what this arc is.
Yeah. Disagreeing right out of the bat, right out of the gate. This is the Michael Scott Paper Company arc. It is season 5. Okay. Episodes 19 through 26. It goes from Golden Ticket to Casual Friday. And we're just, that's that. Let's move on. Right?
No. Okay, first of all, what's Casual Friday doing in there?
Casual Friday is when they acknowledge, they kind of bring everything back together.
The wounds are not healed until the end of Casual Friday.
Okay, all right.
This is good. We should start with the end. That's good. Yeah.
All right.
You get Phyllis. Phyllis telling Michael, you said we were family, and then you went after us. You know? I think that's important. I think that we need the wounds to be healed in the office.
So Casual Friday is... You look like a trout.
I don't know.
And Sean, you say that you find the beginning at Golden Ticket.
I accept Casual Friday as the end. That's a great point.
But
Golden Ticket, bro?
So I did my research going into this by listening to our old episode.
Whoa.
And Edwin.
Oh, look at you, Mr. Research.
Wow.
And Edwin brings up an incredible point in that episode that this arc actually kind of starts in Golden Ticket, although we don't have Charles Minor yet, and we don't have that tension between Michael and Charles, and there's no evidence that Michael's gonna quit or anything like that. What we do get is David Wallace being totally fed up with Michael. Michael is does the Golden Ticket idea. They give a huge discount to Blue Cross Blue Shield, I think. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah, yeah. And then it turns out it looks like it's going to be a bad thing. Then it turns out to be a good thing. Then, you know, Michael blames it on Dwight. Then when he finds out it's good, he wants all the credit.
Okay, I'm not hearing anything about Michael Scott Paper Company here.
And at the end of that episode, David Wallace says, I'm done. Pam, don't send me those notes. And this is the catalyst for Charles Minor coming into the show. This is the moment when David Wallace decides he can't take Michael's BS anymore. Because we've talked before about how, you know, he's...
I'm fighting you on this, Sean. I'm fighting you on this.
Okay, come at me.
All right, this isn't a Charles Minor arc. This is the Michael Scott Paper Company arc.
But this is where it begins. This is where it begins.
Well, here's what I would say. First of all, Sean, very excellent point that I also made. I think.
Wait. Where did you do the research, Sean?
I was listening to a podcast, Michael Scott Podcast Company episode.
Oh, everybody! Oscar found a reason to look on WebMD.
Got him.
Okay.
Baited you in like a meatball parm.
I've got two things. Okay. I think that this arc, maybe I'm contradicting myself. I think the beginning of this arc is New Boss.
Okay.
Because it's the introduction of Charles Minor.
Mm-hmm.
And the end, I would say, is probably Casual Friday, because that's when they resolve everything within the office. I think That what you alluded to, Sean, in the Golden Ticket episode, there's a back and forth between Michael and David that occurs throughout this entire season, with David transferring Holly away, with Michael going on the business trip. There's elements of Michael struggling with the way that he's being treated by Dunder Mifflin, and at the same time, David Wallace also being completely exasperated with Michael. So there's
the arc starts with the business trip, is what you're saying. It starts all the way back.
Yeah,
to business.
Let's keep going back.
There's a pattern of disrespect and
Listen, I want to say something to both of you. You make America Melly Clark. I produce podcasts and write and edit them for a living, and so I'm editing this. So obviously, I went with the least amount of episodes possible to tell the story. And the least amount of episodes to tell this story is Dream Team through Broke, which is the only time we actually see the Michael Scott Paper Company functioning and working as a business. Open door to a door shut. That's where I'm going in and out. Okay.
Let's meet halfway.
No.
You and me.
Okay.
And we'll go with Edwin's beginning, which is New Boss. The introduction of Charles Minor, who, you know, I mean, this... Charles Minor is the beginning of this arc.
For me, what this arc represents, or what happens in this arc, the content of it, is Charles Minor's introduction as a character totally throws the office out of balance. We have
I am aware of the effect I have on women.
Jim, Pam, Michael, and Dwight brainstorming ideas for Michael's anniversary party. Jim wearing a tuxedo. It feels, as an office viewer, I feel like it's very standard issue. Like, we don't question it at all. But then when this new guy shows up, it
very
kind of
cool,
it puts everything in the office. Yeah. Is it Charles? Is it Stanley? it changes everything. So suddenly Jim wearing a tuxedo is correct. That is absolutely ridiculous. And Dwight's memo is not annoying. It's about professionalism in the workplace. Mm-hmm. That's sort of the inciting factor to me, because that is what leads Michael to quit and then start his own paper company. So we can start wherever you want.
Well, I do want to start with New Boss, okay? I think we've covered a Golden Ticket, so I'm glad that I got that in.
I started my prep at Dream Team, so I'll just hang out and chill here until we hit
you
that
just
one.
Wait
all good,
there.
All good, buddy.
Mm-hmm. But... New Boss, I think, and again, we did this episode already, so I'm not going to go, this happens, then this happens, then this happens. Oh, wait, oh, this happened before that. That was
our last episode. Yeah, that used to be a part of our show back in the early days. Was like
recounting
the plot
points. Yeah.
We're big picture now, okay? We're big picture now.
Too,
so what I want to ask.
A little too big of a picture here.
Okay, well, you guys are big picture, I'm day to day. As you were.
So my question to you guys is, did Charles Minor have any right to cancel Michael's party? Okay? On one hand, this is a workplace. It wasn't designed for Michael's vanity. On the other hand, Charles Minor has been there one day, and Michael's been there 15 years. Okay? What do you think?
Yes.
Yes, he has the right to, but that doesn't mean he should. And to quote... the place where all of my life philosophy comes from, a quote from The Big Lebowski: "You're not wrong, Walter. You're just an asshole." Okay, and that right now is Charles. Read the room a little bit. Yes, you have the right. You have the right. You know, Tim Shell, thou mayest. Right? Okay. These are ancient lessons that we're learning. And I say Charles shouldn't have done that, even though yes, technically he can.
I mean, I think with the focus with the company cutting, they say 3% across the board. They're cutting all sorts of things. They're cutting contributions, or they're no longer matching contributions to 401ks, he says.
Yeah.
So Michael's party, I think, is absolutely an example of discretionary spending if the company is paying for that. The other reason that I think that is because when Michael eventually goes to New York to try to talk to David Wallace, the problem isn't that, because David Wallace says, you know what, you're right, I'll go to your party, we'll have figs. What Michael was dealing with is he couldn't get through to David. So that's why that's what I think is the final straw that causes him to quit. So I think, he can cancel the party as long as David would listen to Michael. That's the only thing. But even as Phyllis says, If you had just taken Michael's phone call, we wouldn't have lost all our clients.
Yeah. I've been wondering that myself lately. I think that's what he says. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, absolutely. And that's why I think this starts with Golden Ticket, because that is the moment that David Wallace decides, I'm done with treating Michael like a person. I'm done with listening to him.
I'm going to build
a wall between us.
There might be another one, which is in, I think it's a New Boss, where he says, David, if we hire the Cirque du Soleil guys, will that help with the year-end tax stuff?
Yeah. But they only get...
No.
I gotta know who the Cirque du Soleil guys were. Like, what was
I think
the
he
act?
Hung up.
You know? Yeah. Probably the two like guys that balance on each other. That's who I think it is. Or just a clown.
I mean, but they only get through... They're only able to ask him that question after they tell the front desk that they've kidnapped David Wallace's son, and then and then they get put through to Charles Minor when they really need to talk to David, and then Michael fakes his little girl voice and all this stuff to convince David that the school is calling. David is done with Michael even before the Cirque du Soleil comment, for sure.
Yeah,
I mean he's done with Michael. Take your pick. Go for the surplus when he keeps calling him. You know, like he's done with him. So we could keep going back for where this arc starts.
He drove down to just pat him on the back about the Golden Ticket idea. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. All right, we're moving on.
Yeah, we don't need to dwell here. I mean,
moving on.
Episode 16. Did you have anything from 2 weeks, Sean, that you wanted to bring up?
Two weeks. This is when, you know, obviously Michael is is.
You're doing the thing that we said we were going to do.
No. I was laughing from Arrested Development. All I can hear is 2 weeks.
No, I don't. I don't want to go in episode order. Really, I just wanted.
I mean, the thing that this arc does that I think is the reason that I love it so much is because it's really like an existential challenge to Michael. Like, what happens when Michael doesn't have Dunder Mifflin?
Yeah.
That's a huge piece.
I think
of
we
it.
Can get into the bigger picture stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and in 2 weeks, he's asking people to join. He's mm-hmm. trying to peel people off to trying to poach some chumps, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, I think that is a good segue into the next thing that I wanted to talk about, which is what about Dwight during this story arc? Because going back and listening to our first episode about this, we just don't talk about Dwight that much. And I think he's an important part of this story arc. We've
Absolutely.
Discussed him maybe being, you know, the main character or the hero of the whole series, him or Pam.
An anti-hero, perhaps.
We don't get... What about Dwight during this arc? He doesn't go with Michael. Michael doesn't really ask him to leave with him.
Well,
why is that?
Scene where he asks them to leave, there's only a few times throughout this series where Steve Carell is really asked to dig into his acting bag. And I feel like when he's pleading and sitting on the floor, I feel like Steve Carell's getting a chance to really do his thing there. So he asks everyone. I think he might assume Dwight would come with him. Dwight responds to strong leadership. We know this. I think he already has the feeling of Charles Minor, even though he puts him in sleeves, and we get Dwight in sleeves. I mean, that by itself is insane throughout this arc. There's a lot of times throughout the show he's assumed Dwight is on his side and is coming with him, and Dwight will say, like, well, no, obviously I'm not doing that. They have these differences. That car is a ridiculous choice in this climate. Right. And this is another moment where when the rubber meets the road, Dwight is an independent thinker. He's not going to just do what Michael wants because, well, Michael's not the boss anymore. So mm-hmm. he respects the law. That's the law.
And let's remember, Michael doesn't ask Dwight and Dwight right. doesn't say no. Mm-hmm. That's the way they right. kind of dance around this.
Why does Michael ask Dwight?
Because he knew that he didn't want to make Dwight say no. You know, and Dwight didn't want to have to say no. I feel like they both kind of knew where the other person was at. I think one thing within, again, the way that this arc challenges the different characters, Michael without Dunder Mifflin, Dwight to succeed without Michael, for Jim to be in this new environment with a new boss where he has to try and work hard and impress this new boss.
Jim without Pam a little bit. Yeah, and like role reversal with Dwight.
And Michael puts this challenge out to everyone. Are you doing your best here? Mm. And Pam, who spent all this time working on the copier throughout this episode, goes with him. So all of these sort of major characters in the ensemble are in a new place over a few episodes. And I think it's really fun to watch them grow and like deal with those challenges. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Toby is without privacy while he goes to the bathroom during this arc.
Yeah, he's trying to figure. Yeah, Toby is challenged by whether or not Blue goes with Tam. Yeah.
Now, I'm glad you mentioned growth, though, because that brings us to Pam in this story arc, who I think is the person who grows the most. And while she becomes a salesperson at the end of this arc. Going back and rewatching it, I just am like very proud of Pam. I am almost like she's not a salesperson. She's a manager. Like the way that she kind of deals with Michael psychologically and like tries to get things moving forward. What's the next step? You know, how can we build our, you know, how can we motivate and keep going with this? Because this is it. I mean, I know that roles switch at the end of that episode and she starts to and then Michael needs to play that part. But I mean, it's really cool to see Pam step into that role. And, you know, yes, she's a salesperson, but she's also like, I would say one half of this company. She's a partner in Michael starting this company.
She even gets her own corner behind Michael's desk. And then we also have, you know, her and Ryan both. Ryan does not go through. You might argue Ryan starts the opposite trajectory of Pam as his growth rapidly begins to decline throughout the rest of the show until he rides away on an elephant. Pam really steps up to this role, and I feel like shades of Jan's advice echoing a little bit of like dress for the job you want, not the job you have. Hmm. I feel like she's she's ready to go. She's prepared. She's like help. She's absolutely carrying Michael through the first round of this. Absolutely carrying him. And this whole arc comes down to this moment. And I don't want to jump us ahead too far, but just going big picture stuff in terms of Pam and all their growth. Michael, the after the pancake luncheon, and Michael has this talking head, or not a talking head, but he's talking to Pam and Ryan about a dream about the peanut butter and tuna fish sandwich. And he had the dream and it was delicious. And then he starts to talk about like, and then the next day I had it and it was disgusting. And I feel like right after that, Michael's about to say, and that's what this company is this peanut butter and tuna sandwich where I thought it was going to be great. Turns out it's not. And let's fold. At that moment, they get the call from the guy at the pancake luncheon. Michael's idea works and saves them from the abyss. And that's the one sale they needed, the sale that Pam makes by tearing off that piece of paper, writing the phone number down, handing it to that guy. And it's just this tiny little lifeline that they get thanks to Pam. And so she ends up absolutely saving the day and making that sale.
I agree. I'm thinking of when Pam is talking about art school in season 2, I think the episode is Boys and Girls, and Roy tells her not to, you know, doesn't want her to go, and Jim wants her to go. I think you should do it, is what, you know, and he says, you got to take a chance on something sometime, Pam. And in this season, in season 5, Pam has gone to art school and come back. And this, by going with Michael, she again takes a chance on something. And, you know, at first, yeah, she's met with kind of failure. That's like, it's, you know, it's really difficult to see, or maybe not failure, but she's really struggling to see why she did this. And she can't go back. She can't get her old job back. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because that, I think, to me, is a very underrated bright spot, not just for the paper company, but for Pam as well, that she makes her first sale to Russell for the pancake luncheon. Like Michael says, who would have thought that work and little pancakes would be the thing that saved this company? So it's definitely a growth. It's a period of growth for Pam, which is great to see. Another, we talk about major characters being challenged in this arc. And the other major character, at least from the beginning of the show, is Ryan. And Ryan does not really respond to this challenge. I thought it was very funny. We've talked about Ryan and Jim being sort of parallels or opposites or foils for each other. And I thought it was funny that in the early season when Jim and Pam were sitting near each other, they end up falling in love. And when Ryan and Pam are together, they just hate each other. They are just at each other's throats, you know. And I thought it was another funny way in which Jim and Ryan kind of contrast.
It's a great rivalry on the show between those two. They have their moments throughout the show, ultimately ending in that elephant moment, which is just like, boo! It's just like, ew, go away!
Yeah. does Ryan actually do anything for their company?
Do you guys want to hear about Thailand?
What does Ryan contribute to the Michael Scott paper company?
The pricing model.
Which was wrong.
Yeah, but that's what he did. That's what
his
job is.
And he's the face of the company.
Oh, yeah, he's the face of his company.
And he does the dirty work. Remember, he goes to make that sale. I can get there. You know, he's got to play on misogyny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree that he doesn't contribute much overall, but it does seem like he has a role within the company.
I mean, we know that they're swiping clients from Dunder Mifflin, but it kind of seems like Michael is the one who deserves the credit for that. The way, look at that old dude in his Rolodex go.
100%. You
know? We don't see Ryan take clients himself in this arc, but we do see him talking to Mr. Bart in a future episode that was Dwight's client previously. So, when they talk about moving back or reintegrating those people, that staff within Dunder Mifflin, they'll talk about bringing over their clients. They don't seem to identify that Ryan doesn't have any clients, you know.
True.
But I agree that it does seem like Michael is the heavy lifter in terms of undercutting these clients and working his Rolodex and that kind of thing.
You know what I just realized right now? The reason they use Ryan's pricing model and then they go meet that accountant and it's just like, it's putting you out of business, you can't do this, is that pricing model works when you log your sales twice doing fraud through your website. So he probably just took the same pricing model, but he's not doing fraud. So it's like, yeah, this is not going to work.
But yeah, I think another thing from this arc is that we see, you know, in Dream Team, Michael is building his sales team. He's trying to get the office. Mm-hmm. He's trying to put everything together. And one of the like kind of fascinating things about this arc is the early seasons of The Office, everyone is so threatened with downsizing. And it seems to be like this sort of existential threat in that if the branches downsize and they all lose their jobs, what's the point of the show? It seems to be like the show would cease to exist. Yeah. And to see those characters in an environment where they don't have Dunder Mifflin, they don't have jobs, they have to create something on their own, is really interesting to watch them try to deal with that. Granted, the show it's written in such a way that they end up in the same building, they can cross paths all the time.
Right.
But it's fun to see them challenged like that.
True.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting. Like, I think, besides Dwight going to work at Staples, this is the first time we're following people who leave Dunder Mifflin Scranton.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know,
we've always been Michael's condo and then back to the office eventually.
Yeah.
Except for the retirement home, the bowling alley.
Even the telemarketing building is familiar.
Oh yeah, Vikram. We should shout out to Vikram getting some shine in Dream Team.
Mm-hmm. It is nice to see him come back as the best salesman Michael ever met.
Oh, speaking of Vikram, we've done Would You Rathers a lot on the show, and a Would You Rather we get pitched frequently in our questions is, would you rather read Jim's teapot note or would you rather read Holly's letter to Michael? I'd like to add a third option, which is I would rather hear what Vikram's advice was at the end when they drop him off and he just closes the door on him.
You know what, Michael? You want to be successful?
Yeah. I want to hear what Vikram's advice was.
I love it.
Rest in peace to
rest in peace
Rajic. The actor, I can't think of his name, but
I want to point out something really quick. You mentioned the first time we've followed people outside of Dunder Mifflin, and we actually go back to Michael's condo and we spend some time inside his condo, which is great because the last time we saw it obviously was dinner party when it was Jan's house, not Michael's home. Now, a couple fun little details just looking around that condo now that Michael's got the breathing room he needs.
Nice.
Beautiful Dundee case, which is just on one of those like steel racks. I kind of feel like he would have gotten a fancier display case for his.
Well, he
Dundies.
Tried building
oh,
one.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the number one prominent decoration is his Dundies. He's got several of the like, you know,
inspirational posters,
including an attitude one with a wave, and then a Be Proactive one with a night cityscape.
The Be Proactive.
Yeah. Yeah. With it's just a nighttime city. It's like, okay. Yeah. He has a new flat screen, but the old one is still up right above it. He just got another one and put it in front of it. And then he's got like a no right turn sign on his wall. Like, oh, I
nice.
Feel like
well,
he's...
that's a classic bachelor move.
Is it?
And the St. Pauli girl, the neon sign.
Oh, I didn't know that was. Well, that's what made me think of it is he's decorating like a college kid who's like, oh, anything I find, I found this promotional Jägermeister thing. I'll put it on the wall.
But that's like such a like a set dressing thing for movies and TV. Like if they're a bachelor, they have road signs on their wall.
That's funny.
Look for it. You'll see it.
I've actually known some old bachelors who have road signs on their wall.
Yeah.
That's good.
Like the stop sign in the garage that's like a man cave.
Yeah.
It feels like a very classic movie set detail.
I have one. I have a stop sign in my garage.
Do you
I
really?
Didn't put it there. It just was there.
That's really funny. It was already there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They already shot an episode of TV in your garage.
I guess so.
It's perfect. I think... you know, the next step from this is the Michael Scott Paper Company episode. And this is just a really brilliant sort of one-off episode because it has the alternate title sequence with them in the office. It's just
the
really...
The Britney bitch opening.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of energy. It's great.
Welcome to the Michael Scott Paper Company. It has a lot of weight to it as something totally new within the context of the show.
We meet Aaron, a.k.a. Kelly, joins the show this episode.
Right.
And right away, you know, makes her choice as a new name. If we're doing new names, thought Rajnagara was a boy's name. Rajnaganda, excuse me.
Rajnaganda,
And we get a Dwight Andy friendship is sort of revealed as well.
So, in addition to all of the way that this arc pushes the major characters, it also gives us some really amazing sort of B storylines, very day to day. Office storylines that just happen within the walls of Dunder Mifflin, and the Dwight Andy friendship is such a perfect example of that. It's so funny and so silly, and doesn't last forever.
No, because initially, you know, what Dwight says is like, "Oh, initially we were, you know, sexual competitors,
rivals,"
and it's funny because they sort of their paths cross again as they're trying to woo Aaron for a bit. But it is a funny friendship, and there's some moments where I was like, this would never work. And then there's sometimes the way they do it, and you're like, maybe these two would actually click in the right context. And like when Andy wears the hunting outfit.
And I know.
It's Dwight's like, and it's like, what do you think? He's like, let me check. Oh, no, clearly a hunter who knows how to throw an outfit together.
The way they go back and forth with the hunting, like joking, and then the way that Andy hides behind that little plant.
Yeah.
And how it annoys Jim. I really wish we got to see more of Dwight and Andy annoying Jim, not even on purpose, you know? Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it gives us the Dwight talking to Aaron by telling her that about the ghost, Hattie McGonagall, died in 1816.
That's so long ago.
I know. And it's such a Dwight move to tell a ghost story.
He's so creepy in that moment too.
Yeah. And then immediately Andy is there. And he does the trying to going the same direction, and then we get the take me home country roads moment.
Yeah,
in the break room,
and Aaron leaves.
An all timer within the series.
Hey,
yeah,
you have to.
Let
stop.
Let me stop you right there.
Okay,
and leave.
That's Toby knocking on the window.
Yeah,
I love to. The way that like they utilize Phyllis and Stanley and some of the other like in this arc when they bring them down to check things out, maybe that's in the previous episode. But the when Phyllis and Stanley go down and look around and Phyllis is like, did you get what you needed? Like, yeah. And Michael says, you remember Ryan? And Stanley just looks at him and laughs.
He's probably just remembering that time that he took him out on one of his first sales calls.
Yeah. I'll take the kid. Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't this episode, but we get a mini arc of Kevin on as a receptionist. Also great. Yes, I agree with you. These episodes have such just delicious little side plots going on.
Yeah.
And amidst a very major plot of Michael not working for Dunder Mifflin. And so this era is the Sergeant Peppers of the nine seasons to me, where it's like everything's clicking, everything's right. And as we've discussed for you, Sean, and for some others, that you'd say, well, the show begins to jump the shark after this arc. We'll get there. But like, just to say, this is, it feels like the storytelling, the characters, it's so synthesized and everything's working. throughout these episodes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, jumping the shark wise, I mean, yeah, following Casual Friday is Cafe Disco, which is the most hated episode. I think everyone agrees. By me. That's right.
Yeah, everyone sorry. Agrees.
But we're not talking about that episode today.
And we never will.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I mean, so many wonderful. I think the idea of the mini arcs within this arc, there's so many good ones. I mean, you know, Jim pretending that he's into soccer.
Oh, yeah. Pretending he knows what a rundown is.
Pretending he knows what a rundown is. Dwight choosing sides and teaming up with Charles Minor against Michael and the Michael Scott Paper Company. The I'm meatball sorry, parm yeah. is their worst sandwich. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Oh. The way that Michael spits it out.
Yeah.
And another thing
You're
about that soccer game.
The Nardog.
While mini arcs, I just want to throw out too. Kelly versus Angela for Charles Minor's love.
Sure.
I mean, that's so great.
Sure.
I did think that was a fun pairing within these episodes. I mean, on one hand, both of them being interested in Charles is pretty funny, the two of them.
Mm-hmm. Angela, polar opposite people.
Yeah, the sight gag of Angela coming in from the rain and just being soaked and giving a talking mm-hmm. head is really funny. And then later, when they're having the final meeting in Broke in the conference room, the two of them are at the door, and Kelly is listening with the mug. Yeah. What do you hear? Yeah.
Yeah, they're like teamed up now. I love it.
So cartoony.
Whenever you get those unique sort of pairs or team-ups, it's always fun. But yeah, one thing I noticed was the soccer game. So the whole thing where everyone pretends to be into soccer to impress Charles, they have the game in the parking lot, and there's that moment. I mean, it's become kind of a meme now where it's, why did you duck, Jim? And the caption is, I don't know, Charles, why did you kick this ball like a rocket?
Screamer. Yeah.
right at me. Yeah. And so that's true. But at the same time, if you look at the way they set up the game in the parking lot, it's just cones for goal. So, like, if you're Charles, you're not even trying to hit, like, the back of the net.
No.
Right.
You know? You're kind of trying to pass it in. Like, why would you need to rip that ball? It's not even in the direction of the goal, it seems like.
And there's cars out there with, you know, windows that he could break. I mean, it's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also, shout out to Kevin saying leg after somebody says wing in terms of soccer positions.
Oh, yeah.
Leg?
Yeah. Yeah, not a ton of Kevin throughout these episodes. Kevin and Oscar kind of hanging out in the back, not doing a ton. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's okay. Everyone has their time.
Well, those are the most kind of go-with-the-flow characters.
True.
Phyllis and Stanley and Kevin, Oscar maybe to a lesser extent, and Toby. They're going to kind of wait out the storm and keep their jobs. I did like the way that Michael and Dwight end up competing against each other. Michael versus Dwight is not something we get to see very often. So we see it when they're going after HarperCollins Publishing, and then later with the sabotage, the meatball parm, all of that.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
You've unleashed the wolf.
I would like your undivided attention, please.
You couldn't handle my undivided attention.
Before we move on, let's take our first ad break.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? I know for me, seeing a therapist has been a big improvement for me in my life, and I highly recommend it to anyone who might be dealing with something. It can be a huge help for anxiety, stress, depression, everything that we've had going on in the last year. If you've ever thought about it, now is as good a time as any. We saw how it helped Michael with Toby. Maybe it can do the same for you. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. Visit BetterHelp.com/Scott. That's Better, H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Special offer for the Michael Scott Podcast Company listeners. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/SCOTT. Great Scott!
Overall, though, this arc is really important in the entire series. We said it's a turning point and all this stuff. I think that the turning point is that Michael Scott is the anchor for this show. And to take him out of the Dunder Mifflin Scranton branch is warming us up for him leaving. And we get to see... the ensemble shine a little bit more without him around, in the office at least, the Dunder Mifflin office.
I agree. It's kind of a precursor. I think another thing that we get a little bit is with Charles Minor as the boss, as the manager, while Michael is no longer the manager. It's kind of that. I remember reading an interview around the beginning of season 8 where they talked about the introduction of Robert California and how Robert California was kind of like when your boss walks around, you sit up a little straighter, you make sure you're doing your work, that kind of thing. Obviously, Charles, I think, was the first version of that where it felt like a realistic boss in the day-to-day operations of the branch. Obviously, Robert California doubles down on that quite a bit, and Robert is also totally intense and weird, but but we get a little bit of setup from that with Charles. So agree with you there, like to see the ensemble, the staff react to that. I mean, Oscar says, and off he goes, like as mysteriously as he arrived. And Phyllis says to Andy, he's gone. You don't have to kiss his ass anymore. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of that for sure.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
For your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Did you guys have any final thought?
I mean, yeah, I think the way, like, we talk about, like, pairings or groupings, and Michael, Pam, and Ryan is such a unique one because
definitely.
It's two of Michael's sort of go-to relationships in the show. Ryan and Pam, we get to see them kind of be a team that works together. I think it's fun to watch the way that Charles takes a shine to Dwight and then later turns on him.
I love
the way that. We need to talk about Broke when they try to make the buyout offer.
Yeah, I was thinking.
Sure.
I love the way that Charles, when Dwight says something about. You know, he's talking about getting the queen and extracting her pheromones and that kind of thing. And the way that Charles says, "What is wrong with you?" in just the most tired, exhausted way. Mm-hmm. So, so good. One thing I also notice is that Charles and Dwight are wearing white shirts on one side of the table and David and Jim are wearing blue shirts on the other side of the table, which I thought was a very interesting
choice.
Jim,
I have a bad apiarist.
You don't solve a case. You don't crack a case. You solve a case.
That part actually... To circle back on the Jim Dwight relationship throughout this too, where this is an interesting arc for them because at least in Broke, where they're both on the same, they both work for Dunder Mifflin, but Jim's also trying to help them while Dwight's trying to sabotage them, and it gets very convoluted. But the moment when Dwight realizes he gets a call from a client saying that, like, oh, Dunder Mifflin or Michael Scott Podcast Paper Company is upping their prices. he has a chance to go in and tell Charles and ruin this entire negotiation, and it's all going to screw Pam over. And so Jim sort of makes this brilliant move. And I really like they did this because they spend the whole arc setting Jim up as, like, struggling to get under the boss's good side and be seen as a competent, responsible person. And he's struggling, and it's not happening. David Wallace comes in. Charles starts to see Dwight. Oh, my God, have I made a huge mistake? But then in that moment when he runs into the kitchen to stop Dwight, he throws all of that away because he knows the only way to do this is to get Dwight to start talking about something ridiculous. And the only way to do that is for Dwight to totally engage, or is for Jim to totally engage with Dwight on it. And he falls on his sword and he starts asking about the crimes and what you solve, and he won't go away. And he's willing to it to the point where Charles looks at both of them and says, "You two are morons." And Jim goes, "Got it." And I thought it was actually a really heartfelt moment for me because Jim in that moment is like, you know what? I don't care anymore. I care about Pam. I don't care about this. I don't care if he thinks I'm an idiot. I'm going to go make Dwight do this. And it's going to cost me my reputation with Charles. So be it.
Yeah, he doubles down on the fact that Charles doesn't think anything of him.
And he turns it at the end and weaponizes it. And it's just like a nice end of this arc for Jim. I liked it.
After all the awkward interactions that Jim has with Charles, I'm just thinking of when Charles says, your name is Jim, right? At the end of like their conversation. Like, what a crazy dismissal. Yeah. Your name is Jim, right?
That's great. Yeah. That's great.
And then Jim trying to, see you later. Yep. Bye. Like, he's trying to.
See you later.
Yeah, it's all fantastic. And then Michael, as they, you know, Michael is able to go toe-to-toe with David Wallace.
Yeah.
In a way that, you know, David had kind of wanted to shut off that communication with Michael. And then here Michael is going toe-to-toe with him in their negotiations.
And we've talked about this before. This is probably the most competent we ever see Michael Scott as a professional employee. Not even when he's with Dunder Mifflin, but as he's negotiating for their jobs back and telling about how the branch is bleeding. And you get to see Michael in action and some of the actual talent that he has that's kept him around for this long. David Wallace, on the other hand, is an absolutely insane business leader for agreeing to this deal, but that the show doesn't exist without David Wallace's total lack of any amount of sense when it comes to dealing with Michael Scott. Because he hires Ryan back. What are we doing? Anyway.
It jumps from a $60,000 buyout to a multi-million dollar buyout, which I still don't understand the math on that being a multi-million dollar buyout, but
well, they're projecting years of benefits and salary.
Sure.
Well, and there's an element of, like, I think kind of an implied element is that Michael is one of the secret ingredients that makes the office work. They talk about the office becoming more profitable. Michael shows off how good of a salesman he is. Obviously, he's like an incredibly unique and difficult to deal with as a, if you were to be his manager. But as he says to Charles, if you put paper in a furnace, you burn it. So there's an element
of it.
That Michael is kind of, he's kind of that piece of paper,
it.
You know? Like he says, I don't need to be managed, you know? So
I don't know what the well. That was.
But then, the way that it sort of resolves itself completely is in Casual Friday, when they have to figure out what happens to the clients. Everyone is that also is a perfect example of after this arc that kind of takes the characters all sorts of different places. To bringing them all the way back in the office together. Yeah. They're just dressed a little differently. Some people more casual than others. they have to decide who's going to get the clients. And that's sort of the last sort of piece of them dealing with this arc and this tension between them.
Right.
After that, it pretty much goes back to normal little bit.
Yeah. I mean, Casual Friday, I think, is the last mention of the Michael Scott Paper Company. You get those moments where Michael's like inviting them, Pam and Ryan, into his office, and they're just looking at a giant like board of a collage of
pictures. Yeah, it's like a science fair poster board.
Yeah. It's like it just happened.
Michael's wearing a bowl on his head. Ryan says, you look so classy in that one, which I think is such a funny way to kind of button up
that arc. So funny.
It starts with classy.
Yeah. But it lingers into Casual Friday. They're still mentioning the Michael Scott Paper Company. Mm-hmm. And then I don't think that they ever mention it again, right? Maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in so many Office episodes, or in many Office episodes, whatever the storyline is kind of gets wrapped up by the end. And with this arc, we get sort of an extended run where that doesn't happen, where Michael quits, where he starts his own company, where he puts in his 2-week notice, when the company, when he's battling Dwight for clients. Like every episode, I think all of us or many of us have watched the series multiple times by now, but I would love to rewatch that for the first time as a viewer and get fresh eyes on that and experience what that was like again, especially back when it first aired, we were watching week to week.
Yeah. I mean, it's action packed. There was a lot. It's like
very true.
And it spawned this. It spawned this company.
Yes,
we were also inspired by Michael's exodus, and we all quit our careers and do this podcast now.
And now we've got egg in our crocs,
and we always will.
Should we move on to conference room?
Let's do it. Hell of an arc.
Yeah.
It's funny how I haven't watched all those episodes together in quite a while, I realized. But prepping for the show was a delight. So thank you, guys.
For me, it's an absolute highlight. Just the way it pushes the characters, the way it's balanced with storylines in The Office. Some of some of my favorite moments in Talking Heads are all woven in here. Mm-hmm. I just think it's a really, really amazing stretch within the show.
Same here. I think back when we were trying to pick a name for this, Edwin, I'm sure that you came up with Michael Scott Podcast Company.
This was always the name. This was always the name.
But yeah, I mean, it really was. I mean, this is definitively, our favorite part of the show. Just so fun to talk about. Even again, like this, 2 years later.
I remember when we were talking about it, like really early on, how we were going to start it. It was like, what are we going to call it? Michael Scott Podcast Company. Come on.
Yeah. Duh, perfect. I know.
It's a layup. Yeah.
And what a 2.5 years it's been. My goodness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no kidding.
All right. Conference room. 5 minutes.
All right. Everybody in the conference room. I don't care if you are gay or straight or a lesbian or overweight. Just get in here right now.
Okay. So one of our latest episodes was about Roy. And we actually got some great feedback, and so we're going to kind of revisit that by reading some messages that we got from you guys.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to read the messages directly. Mm-hmm. I just sort of want to address them because we got a few, and this is sort of what happened was like why I love doing the show and why I think it's such a cool community of people, and there's such a wide like spectrum of how people interpret stuff, and there are all sorts of different people who watch and love The Office. And for Roy, which is basically the episode about an ex who could be, abusive or just not a great person, it brought a lot of feelings in people. And so it's funny because we got responses from mainly from women about Roy, but I mean, some that were saying we were way too hard on Roy, and some that says, we didn't actually dissect it enough how we should have as far as the harm that he was doing to Pam. And so we just wanted to bring that up because, look, like we have our limits on what we can actually discuss about Roy and like a relationship like that because we're all guys.
Yeah.
And so we really rely on it. And we're actually really we were touched and we really appreciated the notes and some of the stuff, the feedback that we got from the listeners. And there was a couple points in there that I thought were really, really good that we never even addressed. One of the main ones being that I know I kept saying that it was like Roy's, I think that, the relationship, they're just not a good fit. They were just sort of high school sweethearts that just got a little complacent and kept the relationship going, even though they grew into be very different people. But I think that sort of lends itself to this idea that like, if it's not a great fit, it's okay to treat your partner poorly, or it's okay to treat Pam poorly. Another scene that was brought up was the one at in the Dundies in the beginning of season two, where we actually see Roy physically grab Pam when she doesn't want to leave. We had a listener write in about that scene, and that was like she's gone through that. And we had another listener write in who works with domestic violence victims or survivors used to, and sort of said there's all these hallmarks of things that she saw in that relationship between Roy and Pam that we were going to see and we didn't see. All that is to say, we just appreciate the feedback we got. And it's sort of, that's why we love the show and the community of the show. And you guys are just awesome.
One of the more kind of illuminating things for me that I heard was if Roy is doing that in public with cameras on him, I think of the Chili's moment. And then when he trashes the bar, if he's willing to do that in public with cameras on him, what is he like in private? And obviously we can only really, we only see what's on the show, but it was an interesting point.
All right. And like I say, we also got emails from women who were like, you guys are being way too hard on Roy. Like, he's not a bad person. He's just dumb. There were all sorts of different perspectives that we got. And it's funny because, like, it's rare that we get one episode that gets a lot of feedback like that. We sort of get these from time to time. But it's funny that the topic of Roy was such a touchstone for people. And, this is all for a fake universe in this TV show.
A TV show that went off the air, years ago.
Yeah, but it still tugs at these real life things for people. And I think that's why the show has such staying power. So not our most entertaining and fun conference room topic, but I think one that's that's very important.
Absolutely.
But we have something else for conference room, do we not?
Yeah, something that promises to be a little bit more fun and entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah, new listeners, this is not a usual conference room.
This might be a Cry Man Squaw, FNC double time.
Oh boy.
So a little bit of office news.
Oh, nice.
But basically, there was an announcement a couple days ago that
the web.
That Mindy Kaling is joining with Jeannie Buss to produce a Lakers-inspired Netflix comedy.
Whoa!
So, yeah, so it will be a workplace comedy that is...
Celtics were a great team.
Inspired by the front office of the NBA's LA Lakers. Netflix describes the series as following Eliza Reid, the governor of a fictional team, as she navigates NBA ownership and family drama with her best friend by her side. So, I think it's going to be pretty funny. I mean, it's exciting to see one of the sort of office writers getting back into the world of workplace comedies. I mean, I loved Never Have I Ever, which is Mindy Kaling's Netflix show from that premiered last year. I think the second season is coming out in a couple months.
Nice.
So I'd highly recommend that if you haven't seen that. But very excited for this new show. I mean, Alex and I are both big basketball fans, and I think we're excited for that.
Not as much as Sean. Not as much as Sean. Sean, name a non-Blazer in the NBA.
Oh,
you can do it.
Is LeBron James still playing?
Yeah, yeah.
It's okay. LeJon Brames.
What did I say?
Fantastic.
Nice one.
All right.
That sounds like it'll be good. Feels like maybe there could be some shades of Ted Lasso in there, like a upper management of a sports team. Yeah, cool.
Well, what's interesting is this announcement also talks about how HBO is doing a series on kind of the Showtime Lakers, but it doesn't have the involvement.
How did Showtime miss that? How is that going to HBO? Like, come on.
But no, that'll also be an interesting show because it's got like John C. Reilly and it's produced by Adam McKay, this HBO show. So I think both will be pretty exciting, pretty funny. So.
John C. Riley. I can't.
That was good.
That was okay.
All right.
Now do Jeannie Buss.
I have no idea what she sounds like.
Now do Swedish Chef.
What province is he from?
He lives on Sesame Street, dumbass.
All right.
Okay.
Let's do some trivia.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
Today's trivia is provided by Lauren. Thank you so much, Lauren, for emailing us some trivia. Lauren writes, I listen to your podcast every night before bed and thought I'd try my hand at some trivia since that's one of the reasons I love the show so much. These questions are from Goodbye Toby, Company Picnic, and The Whistleblower.
Fantastic.
Time to spin the chamber boards.
Guys, this is a pretty good meaty little trivia here. We got 12 questions.
Is it meaty or is it little? I'm inside your head, dude. I'm living there now. Let's go.
All right. Question one. What branch does the Scranton volleyball team play at the company picnic before playing against corporate?
Buffalo?
Albany?
It's Albany.
Albany. Ding, ding, ding. I knew it.
Question two. What snacky snacks does Michael bring Holly while they write their sketch?
Chocolate covered strawberries?
Bingo.
Yes.
How about this?
I would have gotten an ice sculpture
of you surrounded by an assortment of chocolate covered fruits.
That's inspired.
Strawberries? That's inspired. Question three. What two movies does Holly suggest they base their sketch on?
Slumdog Millionaire.
Nope.
Jaws.
Yes.
Dunder. And then Back to the Future.
Yes, correct. Question four. What is the name of Joe Bennett's mother?
Oh.
Flo
Bennett. I'm not even sure when this is from. When
Flo
we learn
Bennett.
This.
Pearl? I don't know.
Bessie Bennett.
That's a great question. That's tough.
Very tough. In The Whistleblower, Michael tells Joe he has to get to an early dinner with blank.
Chief of police.
That's right.
Chief of police.
You ever been on an airplane, Paul? That's one of the best bloopers from that moment.
Who does Nick? Who does Nick, the IT guy, call out as he's leaving, and what is it for?
Kelly is not a size 4? 2.
Yes. Kelly is not a size 2.
Daryl is not on Facebook. Why are you telling people you're not on Facebook?
Daryl is on.
Daryl is on Facebook.
Yes, yes, yes.
Ryan is not a photographer.
Yes. And finally.
Something to Andy?
Andy is not. Title of the episode.
Oh, the whistleblower.
Yeah, he is the whistleblower.
He is the whistleblower. Sorry. Okay, he is the whistleblower. Oh, yeah, him. He's the snitch. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Excellent. Question 7.
What a way to flame the office on his way out. What a great move.
Yeah. Yeah, great move by what's his name? Shadow or Garth?
Yeah.
Or...
yeah, it's something weird. Question 7. What is the title of the YouTube video in which Ryan is arrested? We've definitely done this.
Oh, it's called Check This Out.
Yeah. Check it out.
Yeah.
How many years has Toby been cruising for a bruising?
8 years?
12 years.
12 years.
12 years he's been cruising for a bruising. In Goodbye Toby, Michael says that Holly is the best thing to happen to the office since
World War II.
That's right. After finding out that Jan is pregnant, what 2 products does Michael make sure she never touched?
After finding out that Jan is pregnant. My
this is such a tough one.
My head goes to the potato salad. you didn't eat any of that potato salad, did you?
It's been sitting out in the sun.
Sushi?
No. I'm gonna tell you guys, this is a tough one. Accutane and Propecia.
Oh, my Propecia. Okay. That's hilarious.
All right, yeah. 2 more questions, guys. What song is Daryl singing before Andy interrupts by proposing to Angela?
Oh, it's a Supertramp song.
Goodbye Toby.
Yeah.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. Mix that one up.
It's something so kind of chilled and down tempo.
And I don't have the band name. I just have the song name.
What's the name of the song?
Just My Imagination.
Just My Imagination. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
And finally, what are the 2 levels that Michael wants the songs on his mixtape for Holly to communicate?
Oh, it's like, let's get it on, and Welcome to Scranton.
Okay, that second one you got right.
Welcome to Scranton, and it's something that it's
ridiculous. You're close. Yeah. It's Welcome to Scranton, and I Love You.
And I Love You.
Okay. Yeah. Lauren, that was a great trivia. You stumped the fellas. Nice work. if you have trivia that you'd like to submit, email us, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. You can also call us and leave us a message. The number is 503-694-9314. We love to play the voicemails on the show. Occasionally, we do a whole voicemail episode, so give us a call. We're on Facebook and Instagram. We have a website, michaelscottpod.com. And, of course, we're on Patreon, patreon.com/michaelscott. Join us for $5 a month. Become a Scott's Tot. Like we said, we're transitioning still, but we'll have ad-free episodes up there. We'll have a bonus mailbag episode up every month. Just answering Patreon questions. And we make a donation together to the Thurgood Marshall College Fund. So special thanks to all our Patreon members. Thank you guys so much. We would have never made it this far without your love and support. So thank you guys. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who does all our artwork. And this episode is recorded in Portland, Oregon over video chat.
Thank you for listening. I know we say it every week, but this week is a little different with this new announcement for us. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you guys are a huge part of that, of us being able to build this show and keep it going for, the last few years. It just really means so much to us that we've been able to do this, and you guys are such a huge part of that. So thank you. We really appreciate every single one of you. Can't say it enough. So very excited for what's to come. Very excited to share more stuff with you guys. I want to do some concept episodes, you know? Mm-hmm. Like the gift baskets was part of that. Mm. One of these days, I'm going to sneak a note into these guys' food. Don't worry, it'll be sterile. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But until then, take care, stay safe. We'll see you next week.
Pippity poppy, give me the zombie.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Rock the house.
How are we supposed to know that?
U-G-L-Y. You ain't got no alibi, you ugly. Ho, ho, you ugly. You mama say you ugly. Hey, go Michael Scott Paper Company.
I'm here. I'm part of this now.
Wait. Don't skip ahead just yet. I know you were about to. Chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, then you'll love mine too. If you like podcasts that break down all of your favorite water cooler reality TV shows like The Real Housewives or big budget movies like Wakanda Forever, then this is the podcast for you. Subscribe to my podcast, Reality and Comics 2, and listen to episodes like my interview with Robin Dixon of The Real Housewives of Potomac or my interviews with your favorite bombshells from Love Island USA. That's Reality and Comics 2. And I'm Kendrick. See you there.